Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com, and the New York Daily News.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN. We welcome you to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. We have been together in one form or another now for three decades. And right now, the incarnation is a twice weekly Monday and Thursday podcast. And we hope that you will enjoy it and have many happy returns. Well, gentlemen, happy NFL draft day to you and yours. An actual event sort of sorts in the world of sport that, let's face it, has a unique interest this year for two reasons. One is the fact that it is the closest thing to competition and actual new sports things to sink our teeth into that we've had. And two, the technology involved, which has me more interested in this draft than any draft ever, just to see what the damn thing is going to look like.
Well, first of all, in any year, this would be a fascinating draft. I mean, we would be looking forward to this draft anywho's, okay, just because of Burrow and Tua and Justin Herbert and what the Lions are going to do and what the Giants might do and who do the Dolphins really like the best at quarterback, because they have as much of a need at quarterback as the Bengals do. So it would have been great in any year, but because there's nothing else going on, and the next thing we have to look forward to in sports after this is Tiger and Phil and Tommy and Peyton in a golf match, but we can talk about that later. So, yeah, I would have been up for this anyway.
It's a really interesting draft because of the number 2, 3, 5, 6 picks. And living right in the middle of it for all these weeks, and then, of course, it's still being the only sports story in town, I still cannot tell you what the Detroit Lions are going to do. And they are the linchpin for the potential drama of this draft. Now, you could say that the Washington Redskins could surprise the world and say that they have been playing something so close to the vest all this time, but the truth is they don't believe in Dwayne Haskins as a starting quarterback, and they're going to use that number 2 pick to take Justin Herbert or Tua in that, and that would set everything in motion, and I'm praying for that just because we're all praying for some kind of drama. We just wanted something fun to happen. If they take Chase Young at number 2, this is all assuming that Joe Burrow goes number 1, and I don't hear anything that suggests that wouldn't happen, although there's now a report that Miami tried to trade up for that pick, but Cincinnati said no, which would only further solidify the idea that they're taking that quarterback. Then you get to number 3 and the Lions. And, of course, in classic Detroit Lions fashion, only the Lions could get a number 3 pick and feel totally screwed. Because if they had the number 2 pick, there'd be no debate. They absolutely need an edge rusher. Chase Young's the perfect guy. They could pick a franchise guy for themselves and be rewarded for having a lousy season. But no, they had to tie the first game of the year against Arizona, and they had to lose to Washington. And so they're number 3, and they're stuck with basically too high a position for the need that they have. Jeff Okuda, the cornerback out of Ohio State, is sort of the consensus pick right now because they need help at corner, but you don't really want to use a number 3 pick on a defensive back.
And when you talked about that the other day, okay, I'll just cut it for 1 second and ask you this. I can't remember a when was the last time a defensive back...
I see a note that says it hasn't happened in Jeff Okuda's lifetime. So assuming he's 21 years old,
when did Woodson go? Do you remember? I can't remember when Woodson went. I'll look it up.
Well,
go ahead.
If it's Woodson, that's a long time ago because he's already retired.
Right.
So that's one of those things. It's like, well, we don't want to waste this pick on a position player that high, so we want to trade down. But everybody knows that they need to make a trade, and they don't want to get fleeced because Detroit's very sensitive to the fact that they blow trades every year. This is, of course, the same team that once took Andre Ware in the top 7 picks, once took Eric Ebron as its top pick. I mean, they took Charles Rogers as the number 2 pick. I mean, just the worst draft history ever. So they don't want to be criticized for trading down and getting nothing, but they don't want to pick too high. So everything kind of goes through this pick. If they decide to trade, and Miami or San Diego, or Los Angeles Chargers trade up, then everything starts to get really interesting.
By the way, Charles Woodson was the number four pick in the first round of the 1998 draft.
Yeah, so it might be even longer ago than anybody went as high as this guy, this kid would go if the Lions took him. Mitch, when you lay it out like that, how can they sit on that pick? I mean, can't they get goodies that make it worth, to even if they trade down a little bit and get something, okay?
But everybody knows they need to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
When they know you need to trade, you don't get... Somebody said that the Dolphins were offering to trade down with them, but not give them the number five pick, to give them like number 18 and 26. And it's like, you know, if you do that in Detroit, these guys won't be able to.
Wait a minute, Mitch.
Coronavirus, they won't be able to go back to their offices.
Wait a minute, Mitch. Who do they think they're dealing with? The Detroit Lions? Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it becomes interesting.
Okay. Tua is, Mitch, 100%. To me, he is the compelling figure of this draft, even though, you know, I'm shocked at whatever time the first pick's going to be made and Joe Burrow doesn't go number one. Tua, to me, is the fascinating pick because everybody who says about him that he's like a left-handed Russell Wilson, guess what? He's a left-handed Russell Wilson, okay? He has an extraordinary skill set. Until that hip injury, it would have been we'd be having a very interesting conversation if Tua had played out the season. Yep. And the Bengals really had to decide between Joe Burrow's. I'm not saying Tua would have ended up with the numbers that Joe Burrow did, but who knows? Who knows how far Alabama would have gone if Tua had stayed healthy? All I'm saying is, because the injury is in play, because there is so little actual eyes on Tua, stuff that has happened since the injuries, he's going to end up with the Dolphins tonight. He's going to end up with the Chargers tonight. Mitch, is it impossible that he could end up with the Detroit Lions tonight and there could be something done with Matthew Stafford?
Well, it's not impossible. It all depends on if these general managers have been downplaying how much they think of him and how highly they value him. And because of the coronavirus situation, I think it's been much easier this year for teams to keep their secrets. And we all know that that's half of what the draft is about, is poker facing and lying and putting stuff out there that you want other teams to believe so you do something else. Because you don't have the press gathering every day down at the practice facilities, you don't have the face-to-face confrontations, you don't have the press conferences, these general managers are talking only when they feel like it. Bob Quinn, to just bring it home to Detroit, the Lions guy, he called everybody dial in kind of little press conference once, and that's it. He answered the questions he wanted to answer, and he's left alone. So we don't really know what these guys are thinking about Tua. And if they really believe that he is the second coming, you could have Washington taking him. And as I said, just be
that's right. I should have included
the whole
them.
Time.
Yeah. But Mitch and Bob, can I ask you this? Do you believe that Chase Young, and we talk about we've eyes on him in the sense that we have seen this play out with him at Ohio State, the Ohio State University, okay? Is he a Lawrence Taylor type game changer defensive player?
Based on a couple of times we saw him on occasion, you'd have to say if there's a second coming, it would be him. You know, no, for sure, of course not. You know, but any more than we know that Burrow is going to be the second coming of pick your Joe Montana, pick your whoever.
Brady,
but,
Peyton,
Brady. But I think that Chase Young would be the general feeling.
But Bob, Mitch is right. Do you believe that Ron Rivera, who is now calling the shots in Washington, is as sold on Dwayne Haskins as the previous regime was on Dwayne Haskins
after
what is admittedly a small sampling of Haskins's work on a bad team as a rookie?
How do we know? We don't know. By the way, gentlemen, I just want to throw something out there for what it's worth department. I'm being very specific with my language here. I encountered this week a very interesting naysayer on Tua. The Boston Herald interviewed extensively Merrill Hoag. Now you say, well, who cares about him? They dropped him. And, you know, I'm just telling you, Merrill Hoag, he knows more about football than the three of us. All I can tell you is this. He is a naysayer on Tua, who he says, if I can remember correctly, is not, there's no evidence that he's any good reading defenses, and B, through to what quote, and I'm basically paraphrasing closely, wide open Alabama receivers in a way he'll never find in the NFL, and not all that accurately at those wide open receivers as you, people think he was.
I'm glad you brought that up, and it's something I've said in the past, and I'm going to say it again. When you play on Alabama, you have to be filtered through the understanding that for the most part, year after year, Alabama is head and shoulders above every opponent it plays, with the possible exception of one, you know, if it plays LSU. And so when you're looking at quarterbacks, there's a reason that Alabama has won all these national championships or been in the running for national championships. When's the last Alabama starting quarterback who's made a huge difference in the NFL?
No, Joe Namath. We laugh, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to only count the Nick Saban years, but that's a point. Is you can look phenomenal on Alabama, and he's right about wide open receivers, and he's right about being able to elude tacklers that you're not necessarily going to elude in the NFL, but the linemen blocking for you. You know, all of that stuff is at such a high level. It's like coming from a Beverly Hills mansion and saying, okay, now you have to get by especially if you get drafted by a lousy team, you got to get by in a studio apartment on the Lower West Side. You know, it's not the same situation, and history has been strewn with guys who put together amazing college performances, and they get into the NFL with a bad team, and it's not always the case. So that's what I don't know about Tua, and his body of work is impressive for what it is, but you know, he didn't play four straight years of games. You know, you really have an incomplete season and a piece of another season to work off of, and you know, are you going to risk your high draft pick on him?
All right.
I don't know.
Let's talk about another Alabama quarterback, sort of, Jalen Hurts. Ryan, is it true that the Patriots have their eye on Jalen Hurts? And Mitch, because I think of the three of us, you were probably the closest to the Jalen Hurts fan club president guy. Does he become an intriguing figure to see where he might go tonight?
Yes, his name has entered into the mock draft scenarios in Boston as a possibility. It has, as well as Jake Fromm. So, to name two, and where they're picking at number
Bobby, it's amazing how fast the quarterback musical chairs games changes, and guys rise and fall. I mean, a few years ago, Jake Fromm would have been a headline going into this draft, and he just got passed by some other guys.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. But Hurts, Michael, you're right. Hurts' name has come up in a speculative in a way in Boston, yes.
Am I the only person who believes that by the end of tonight, New England will somehow have a starting quarterback?
Yes.
And they're just going to pull something off because you know that Bill Belichick is stewing with this whole Tom Brady situation. And now, and we'll talk about it a little later on, Gronk also going down there. And he hears and feels, you know, everyone's saying, look, the Patriots are getting fleeced now and they're losing everything. And what do they got left? And something tells me he'll pull off some kind of trade, or he studied somebody or not. I'll give you a case in point. Sony Michel, the running back. I remember watching Sony Michel in college and thinking, you know, this guy's really good. And then the draft comes, and because people don't want to take running backs anymore that high, he starts falling. He ends up with the New England Patriots. And I remember that night, and I'm thinking, Sony Michel got to the Patriots? Well, sure enough, because the Patriots are a really good team, Sony Michel gets a chance to play and do things that higher running back picks don't necessarily get to do with bad teams who can't block for them. So when you're a quarterback like a Jalen Hurts, who isn't being tossed about as a number one or two or five number pick, you actually are better off. If you get picked by a team that's generally a winner, and then that's why they're down there picking in the 20s, you could end up having a faster and more successful career. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Hurts ends up with the Patriots if we don't see him as a starting quarterback before the year is out.
And you know what, Mitch and Bob? You know who else might be looking for a quarterback? And again, you know, you go through the list. Justin Herbert, the kid from Utah, Love, okay? Joe Burrow, all these guys, Jake Fromm. the Steelers might be looking for a quarterback tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
And Jalen Hurts, I've heard some talk that the Steelers might be interested in Jalen Hurts because apparently from everything I've read about Jalen Hurts, he's really good at the combine. One of the things they had worried about coming in was accuracy. And then I guess apparently he was accurate as hell in front of everybody. And so that's another name I'm not saying for sure he's going to go in the first round, but would you guys be shocked if he went in the first round in the lower first round tonight?
No. Why would we be shocked? I think he's proven something, Mike, that you can't say about most college quarterbacks. He's excelled in two systems. Remember, he went from a totally different program at Alabama, went to Oklahoma, and came in as a starter and took over, and they were great. I mean, most college kids don't have to do that. Think about that as a characteristic that you get to learn as an NFL coach. Wow, okay, we saw this kid was in one system the year before. Boom, he's in another system the next year, and he's still excelling because he's going to be in a new system now with a new NFL team. I think that's a huge plus. There's no way in my mind he gets out of the first round. Bobby?
I don't think so. I agree. By the way,
Steelers. Jarrett Stidham, okay?
Yes.
Does Belichick really believe that he might have another Garoppolo? And Mitch, did you ever think you'd be saying, you think he's another Garoppolo?
Well, this is the great mystery. You know, it's not as if he's known for blabbing his thoughts all over, the world.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
The great question that you start with, the fundamental question. What do he/they really think of Jarrett Stidham? And we know the physical attributes we know that anybody would like, but what do they think about his progress? What do they think about his capability of becoming a above average,
If there's a season, Bob, are they really going to give the ball to Brian Hoyer to start their season if there's a season?
I guess you could. But point of what I'm getting at is we're going to learn something. In 24 hours, we're going to have an answer, perhaps, to the thought process. If not, we won't have the definitive answer how accurate the thought process was, but we're going to have an idea if they come away with a quarterback, one of the ones we've discussed or somebody we haven't even discussed in the first round. It will certainly mean that they're not sold on Stidham, because it's not as if, Mike and gentlemen, they don't have other needs. It isn't as if the only thing they have to do is replace Tom Brady. Oh, no. They have some significant needs at linebacker, significant need there. And, of course, they always seem to have a need at wide receiver, and that's ongoing. So, and this is that wide receiver-laden famous draft. So, we're going to have to know a lot more in 24 hours.
I want to ask you guys a question about how this thing is actually going to play out on television tonight. But before we do that, a word from our friends at Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today. I have railed constantly on this podcast and elsewhere about the bloatification of the NFL draft over the years and how it has become the equivalent of that Monty Python skit in the Meaning of Life, where the guy just keeps eating and eating and eating until he explodes. Now we have the opposite of that. Suddenly we have the Weight Watchers version of this, where they're not going to be able to have a panel on ESPN of guys all talking to one another. They're all going to be on separate screens. They're not going to be able to so quickly jump to this guy or a guy stationed out at the war room of the Dallas Cowboys or the war room of this team or not. Everybody's working on the Lions actually have. This is quite amusing. They asked Bob Quinn, the general manager, so what happens, if something goes wrong, technology-wise? He said, well, there's this guy on the team in a Winnebago who is living in his driveway, and he's got a Winnebago full of technical equipment. He's like a personal IT guy, and for the 3 days of the draft, he's going to live in the Winnebago in the driveway of Bob Quinn's house, so in case something goes wrong, he can immediately rush in with whatever piece of equipment that needs to get fixed. Mm-hmm. This is what we're up against here now. I am as interested in watching how sparse this thing looks compared to that bloated, ridiculous, potpourri smorgasbord that they do every year as I am in the actual draft. Am I alone here?
No.
No, I said that at the outset, that I'm more interested myself, quite frankly, in how this is going to look and operate as I am in the talent involved, you know, because I'm not an NFL draft Nick, and I'm not even an NFL freak compared to other people. So, yeah, but the technology involved and the worries, the thing that's amused me hilariously is the security worries. Just, oh, my God, we're going to get John Harbaugh is a paranoid, apparently, about hacking.
Wait a minute, a paranoid football? Come on.
Oh, I know. It does seem like an anomaly, doesn't it?
You expect Mitch and I to, come on, how long have we been together? A paranoid football coach? What's wrong with you?
Do you realize that, including, among the technical partners that are involved in this thing tonight, Amazon Web Services, Verizon, and Microsoft, they're all involved in providing technology of some sort. Of course, there's security involved for the hacking. You know, they had a dry run on Monday, and it started off with Cincinnati all screwed up and needing 20 minutes to get their pick through. But after that, they smoothed out whatever the problem was, the glitch, and they ran through their dry run. But
don't we kind of, maybe, isn't there just a dark,
but you know, we're talking about, Mitch, what you're getting at, the important thing is, all right, who's going to survive better than, what teams are going to be better equipped to handle all this? And one of the things that so many people are pointing out, we may find out who's got the best scouts now, you know? That important are various scouts. We're going to find out. This is going to be very important because there's certain things that aren't going to be coming into play that ordinarily come into play. They haven't had a chance to do the kind of due diligence that they always do. And it might come down to what scouts actually went out there in the fall, watched their football games, and came back and made accurate reports about players, you know, without all this timing of this and hurdling of that.
You're 100% right. When I've written many times and talked many times with Ernie Accorsi about how he began stalking Eli Manning when he was a junior. Okay, at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And any time since I've asked him about any quarterback, Ernie will say the following. The first thing out of his mouth will be, I didn't see him in person. And he's an old school football. He wants to be there in the stadium watching guys that he's really, really interested in. Now, Mitch, I want to ask you this about tonight, though. Isn't there a part of you, just a little small evil part, that is hoping for a little chaos tonight?
I wouldn't call it evil. I'd call it interested in entertainment. I want to see a screen go black. I do. I want to see a screen go black. I want to hear the words, we apparently have lost them somewhere tonight. I want to hear that. Because when else are we going to get a year
boom
like this? Yeah.
But you know what? Here's what we aren't going to have tonight, Bob and Mitch. Woj knowing who they're picking before they pick them. Or maybe he will know. Maybe Woj will know, even though it's not his sport.
In this case, yeah, maybe he will know. Maybe he's branching out tonight. No, it's going to be fascinating. It really is. It's going to be totally fascinating to see how this unfolds.
All right, we'll go around the horn here. Okay. Oh, there you go, Ryan. Okay. Who will Tua Tagovailoa be playing for tomorrow morning? What will be his team?
Well, if I can split the baby, it's either Miami or Los Angeles. I don't believe that Detroit's going to take him. I think with Matthew Stafford where he is, and them under the must-win edict, and they can talk all they want about, you know, let's go to Mrs. Ford and say to her, Mrs. Ford, this is a generational player. We should draft him, and we'll sit on him for a year or two and let him get better. I don't think that flies when you have a franchise that's now. You know what? Having said that, let me throw this in here because this is important. You're going to have a season with no fans this year. You are going to have a season with no fans this year. Mark my words, there's no way, as we're watching this thing lay out.
Or few fans.
All right, if you're going to select, you know, the lucky 50 that get to fill out a stadium, okay. But what that does, Mike and Bob, doesn't that change the need for box office this year? If you're discounting box office and tickets are no longer a part of the equation. Just TV money. Well, the TV money is split evenly, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter. If you get bad ratings or nobody wants to watch your team, doesn't matter. You get the same amount of money. If you're not going to sell your luxury box anyhow, if you're not going to fill your seats anyhow, does that change the way some teams might look at who they draft and how long they can give them to develop.
No, I don't even think for 5 minutes that's going to be a concern.
Not in tonight. This sport. I can see basketball.
Many in another sport, right.
Hockey, if you've got a guy. Okay. I can't see it in this sport. When so many great players are anonymous to us to start with because they play these positions about which we don't
care. Okay, then my answer in that case is my answer at the beginning. He's playing for Miami or Los Angeles, not for the Detroit.
I think he's going to be a Charger. I think he's going to be a Los Angeles Charger, and because I think they must be convinced he's healthy. I think there is some glamour to him from everything, including his name. Okay. And Philip Rivers is gone. I just think he makes a lot of sense for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, he does, which means that they'd have to, either move. Well, they're going to move up. I mean,
I think the Lions are in a great spot because I got the Free Press web sports page, Mitch, out of loyalty to you. And I just feel like the Lions are going to do something because here's the big headline. It's Jeff Okuda versus Derek Brown in tonight's NFL draft. Mitch, I don't know if you can sell that with the third damn pick in the NFL draft.
I don't either. It takes two to trade, and you can only trade what you have. So, Miami has, they're the best likely team because they've got two other first round picks, but are they going to give them up? Who else is going to? I don't know what. I don't think Los Angeles is. Los Angeles have another pick in the first round. So if they don't, what are they going to offer? Second round picks?
Now, the Dolphins have the most. The Dolphins have the most to offer if they're willing to offer. All right, listen. All right. But before we get to a story that just jumped up and bit us all this week and caught me completely by surprise. I want to remind you that one of our sponsors today, and we're so happy to have him, is Harry's. Now is not the time to be overpaying for razors at the drugstore, and Harry's knows sometimes it's better to just stay inside. That's why they ship directly to you so you can experience the quality of a Harry's shave in just a few days from the convenience of your own home. And let me tell you from my own experience, their razors are amazing. I love the quality of the shave I get with Harry's. It's as simple as that. I also enjoy their aloe-infused shave gel. I just want you to know exactly what it is. It doesn't leave my face dry. It smells great. And the blades, again, they don't feel like any old razor I have ever used in the past. One pass and it easily removes my stubble. I don't even have to press down. It's that smooth of a shave. And feel. Harry's is a return to the essentials. Quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. Again, go to the drugstore and see what the other things are charging. They've cut out the middleman manufacturing blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century, which means you get incredibly high quality blades at factory direct prices. And right now you can join me and the 10 million people who have tried Harry's with a special trial offer by going to harrys.com/reporters. And with their 100% quality guarantee, there's no risk. Seriously, if you don't love your shave, let them know and you'll get a full refund. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/reporters. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip. And I mean, who's not looking for one of those? 5 blade razors with a lubricating strip and trimmer braid, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/reporters to start shaving better today. All right, I turned the floor over to Mr. Ryan. Ryan, did you think Gronk was going to follow Touchdown Tommy down to the west coast of Florida?
Well, we knew he left the door open always. He left the door open for something to happen. And did I know? Of course not. But I think it makes perfect sense that once this all transpired. And now it turns out he said yesterday in an interview, he was actually basically being recruited by Tommy, So that made it a lot easier. The question that's being batted around up here, guys, is simply, what did he know and when did he know it about all this? In other words, how much of the retirement answer he gave us was the truth, and how much was a camouflage, how much was it because he didn't want to play for Belichick and the Patriots any longer, as opposed to the fact that his body was battered and he had had enough of that. That's the debate that's going on here. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's great, though.
He did say this place, it's difficult to play here, he said, but I learned a lot. I'm grateful for it. But he said, there's no, you know, I'm basically saying it's no secret. He's not the first person to say it's difficult to play for New England. And he said that he reiterated that yesterday while then trying to have it, you know, cover his ass with the coach and saying, but I learned so much and I'm so grateful and all that. But, we don't, you know, so that's what they were batting around all day yesterday on talk radio here was did he lie? Did he lie when he retired because of, he told us a bogus reason? You know, so I don't know.
Well, there's two elements to this that fascinate me. One is, will Rob Gronkowski have a season with Tampa where he can actually last more than 5 minutes and become the comfortable weapon for Tom Brady that he so desires by going into a new system, in which case this is just a magnificent move, even though it costs them $10 million. Or does Rob Gronkowski, get injured like he always gets injured, and B, force a difficult fit in a system where Bruce Arians doesn't necessarily use tight ends? I mean, he doesn't use a quarterback like Brady normally, and he doesn't use tight ends, and now he's got Brady and one of the greatest tight ends in history that he can't ignore. So he's going to have to be very flexible about this. But the flip question that I have is, you very rarely see Bill Belichick criticized on the other end of a trade as like, boy, he didn't get much for that. And so I looked into, well, why a fourth round pick? Why did you have to give him up for a fourth round pick? After all, they owned his rights. He came back from retirement. They could force him to play with the Patriots. But from what I can see, Bob, and you're closer to it there, yeah, he basically had them over a barrel because they knew that he could say, oh, I have to play with you guys. I'll stay retired. Thanks. So he had the ultimate leverage there. And they have a cap issue with money that they couldn't really take his $10 million if he did come back. And that's why they ended up having to settle for a fourth round pick. Is that accurate?
That's 100% accurate. I was going to get to that cap situation. He had the leverage in forwards and backwards. He had the leverage, and you've hit both points of it. And the cap thing is very real. They're down to $1.75 million now. That's all they got. They couldn't afford to take him back at the end of $10 million. And they, without doing drastic things, so that's that. So yes, he had the leverage. It's rare in that league, but he did it. He had it, and he used it. And they're damn lucky to get a fourth. People think, quite frankly. And also, they threw in a seventh too. They had to forfeit a seventh. And top of this, you know, it was 2-for-1. It was Gronkowski and a seventh for a fourth.
I'm not saying that Gronk makes them into a Super Bowl contender, but let's face it, they're a lot more of a Super Bowl contender than they were 5 months ago. Okay, and here's the thing, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, and why the Bucs become so fascinating now, even if Brady isn't much more than he was last year. Okay, they lost 7 games last year by a touchdown or less. Okay, one of those was a calamity against the Giants where they were leading 28-10. All I'm saying is this is fun. This is who knows how much Brady's got left. Who knows how much Gronk has left? But them taking the band down to Florida, I'll watch them play. You know, whether the stadium is full or empty, I'll watch them play next year. I want to ask you guys a question about the Patriots, though. Okay, you ready? Bill Belichick is 67 years old and
just turned 68 last week.
68. Okay. Bob, is he in it for the long haul, putting this thing back together? Is he willing at this stage of his career, when he could go fishing, okay, and be called the greatest football coach of all time? Is he ready? Or has he been scheming for a year for this moment, and he will be ready tonight and going forward?
You're right. If he folded his hand now, he doesn't run the risk of anything going wrong to tarnish the image. And he was never won without Brady. Look what he did in Cleveland. You know, he'd have to live with that if things go bad, if he doesn't get it done here. And if he folds his hand now, which obviously he's planning on coaching whatever the next season is, whether it's 2020 or 2021. I think he's going to see the course. I think he's going to run that risk. I think the ego is sufficient that he will, and he loves. Mike, I said this a million times, and I know you guys know it too, but I just say it for the million and first time. It's very difficult to imagine any person loving what he does, whether you and me or the next 10 million people, you got more than what he loves, than Bill Belichick loves what he does. He loves every aspect of coaching, which may or may not include the fun he has in his own mind by tweaking and taunting the media. But that aside, and even there, I think he enjoys himself. There's nothing he doesn't like, guys. He loves draft. This was a time of year he usually just salivates over because he loves the draft. He loves preparing for the draft. He loves hanging out with his buddies like Saban and Ferentz and so forth, or whoever else. And he loves going to the Super Bowl, Senior Bowl, and he likes going over the film. And then OTAs, oh boy, that's teaching, that's this, that's that. There's exhibitions, the game, Sunday, the buzz, everything. He loves what he does. He's 68. I don't think he lives on any less than he did when he was 58, 48, or 38. So I think that's the answer. I think he's going to keep doing this until he drops.
I think you already have your answer in that he's still there. I mean, he has to know that this is going to be a huge challenge of a season here, and he may end up having a losing season and all the rest. And if that's the case, what's the point of sticking around for this year and then leaving after this year? Then you really look bad. So if he didn't already decide in his mind, all right, we're going to have to take a step back. We may not make the playoffs this year. We've had that happen before when Brady was hurt, and you know, and we came right back, and I'm going to figure a way out to do it. And that's what must be motivating him. Let's all remember, and at our ages, we can certainly say this, 68 isn't that old anymore. It's not like, you know, you have to be out of your game by then, or what are you still doing here, Pops? 68 is not uncommon, especially for football coaches, and I see no reason why he's not looking at this as another 4 years of which it may take that long to get back to a Super Bowl. But I think the answer, Mike, you already have the answer, which is that he already has decided, or he would have left when Brady left. If he said, oh my God, Brady's gone, and look at our team now, now's the time to get out and leave my legacy intact. He's already signed on to the ship going underwater for
Mitch,
a while.
You know what? It's so interesting when you put it that way about him and Brady. Okay, because this drama is going to play out now. And the difference between one and the quarterback and the coach is the meter's not running on the coach. You're absolutely right. You know, Coach K's still going. Boeheim's still going. Okay. But Brady, there's a limited, you know, there's a sell by with Brady. Even though he says he's going to play till he's 45, you know, we'll see when he's 44. Okay. But Belichick, no. And you know what I think also? And I put this question out because I've been thinking about it a lot. I think he will enjoy this. I don't think that as obsessed as he is with winning, Bob, I think he's going to enjoy this. Going back into the lab, going back into the gym. He's almost like a college coach now who gets a whole different set of kids, but in a way, he's turning the page.
By the way, I want to go back quickly, Mitch, because I had an answer to your question. Speculation is that Bruce Arians, about how they use Gronk, that he's not going to be asking him to go back and be the Gronk that was, on his best days, the best tight end who ever lived. And we'll have that. I have no argument. I'm not listening to any other argument. He played it better than anyone ever played the position, pass receiving and blocking combined, for the short period of time. Obviously, Tony Gonzalez had a longer career. But he's going to be using him, they think, because he's got two tight ends already that people like. Oh, Howard and whatever guy's name, I forget. But, yeah, great. As a Jimmy Graham / quasi wide receiver tight end, he's not going to ask him to go blocking 340-pound tackles any longer. So that's the way they're planning on using him, supposedly.
Well, you know, he did take a year off. And in football, when you get that, and I recognize he did some wrestling and all the rest of it, but he didn't do anything that was anywhere near as demanding as NFL football. And it's quite possible at age 30, he's only 30. He's only 30.
That's, you know, amazing, isn't it? That's crazy.
Operations. He's only 30. It's quite possible that he has gotten health back, and he could come back much stronger than when we last saw him perform, where he was, you know, having to come back every year and couldn't do what his body was basically saying for him to do, was take a year away from this and heal completely. So who knows? And they may have gotten a steal. And if they draft an offensive lineman, which is what a lot of people are thinking they might go after, this Andrew Thomas guy out of Georgia, he's a tackle, you know, to try to protect Brady. And I guess that this Thomas guy could step in and start. they're putting the pieces together that, Mike, you made a statement. You said, well, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks are a lot closer to going to the Super Bowl than, and I thought you were going to say than the New England Patriots. I would probably say that right now. You know, given what I'm looking at the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. And they're in an easier conference. That's when people, when I'm just, you know, when I talk to people these days and they ask me about Brady and the Bucks, I say, you got to tell me who's the slam dunk favorite out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. Because guess what? There isn't one.
No, there isn't. No. All right, we're going to take a shift here and talk about a little bit of baseball before we get out of here. Not great baseball, unfortunately. Before we do that, one more word from our friends at Geico.
Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
All right, so there isn't any baseball being played, but there's still baseball news. The Red Sox, 2018 Red Sox, now have officially joined the 2017 Houston Astros as certified cheats. By the Major League Baseball, as Rob Manfred concluded the investigation, finding out that Boston used its video replay monitor to steal signs, same way as the Houston Astros did. But in this case, the punishment was basically limited to the replay room operator, JT Watkins. I don't know if he's a friend of yours,
excuse me, Al Capone. Okay, Mitch.
Capone Watkins, yeah. And everybody else was essentially, except Alex Cora, from who's already being punished, was sort of let off the hook, including Dave Dombrowski and no players, of course, God forbid, any players, because, you know, that's how these deals are made. Tell us your reaction on that, Bob. It happened in your backyard.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Do you hear that sound?
Slap of a wrist.
You hear that? Okay, that's the sound of me slapping my wrist. Okay, that's all that was. It's amazing, after all this, that so, as so often happens, the sacrificial lamb is a foot soldier and not a general.
You mean an equipment manager on the Patriots,
or even a sergeant. Quote: he is accused of using in-game video to decode signs from opposing players. Quote: on at least some occasions. Unquote. We are led to believe that a man whose name I did not know until yesterday. Because I'm not on top of them every day. JT Watkins, with his video coordinator job, a West Point graduate, by the way, the son of a Red Sox scout, a former player in the system, a catcher. And unnamed players had something to do with this decoding on at least some occasions, but that the manager and the coaching staff were, and anyone else was oblivious, I guess. I mean, is that not what they're saying to us?
Yeah.
And so he is suspended without pay for whatever it would be in the 2020 season, and he can return in 2021, but I love this one, but not at the same position. He's banned from being a video coordinator. Wow. He could have some other job. You know, like manager. I don't know. But
head of spying operations.
Here's my question, Ryan.
I'm awaiting to hear the reaction from
all right.
Our teams.
Forget about Al Capone Watkins, okay? Bob, the door looked like it opened briefly on Alec Cora, but it seemed to get closed just as quickly yesterday once this news got out. And I don't have any feeling, indication, or sign that they have any interest in bringing him back.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, I didn't get that impression. So
but
I don't know what you saw.
They said they fired him for what he did with the Astros. Okay.
Yeah.
And they made it clear in this decision that he wasn't. But what he did with the Astros was treated far more seriously than what the Red Sox did. So he could skate on the Red Sox thing, Bob, but it doesn't change the initial mitigating effect, which was he was a ringleader in Houston of what the Astros were doing.
But we're burying the lead on this thing. We're burying the lead on this thing.
All right.
By punishing a designated replay room operator and nobody else, it suggests to the average fan that somehow this guy was playing a his own video game, stealing signals, and then just keeping them in his pocket. Did he not give this information to ball players to then use to gain an unfair advantage in the game?
The quote is here. Yes.
So then the fact that no players get any kind of punishment here is the lead. It was the lead in the Houston thing, and it's the lead here. No, you know, well, he could have done thing. This. He could have come up with this and said, "Hey guys, I figured out this way. Look at this stuff." And in a better world, the players would have said, "We can't do that. That's cheating." You know. Instead, they said, "You do? Give me the information." And nobody's getting punished.
One of the things Rob Manfred says, I find this interesting. I'm looking for both your reactions to this. Rob Manfred said in as part explanation for the length of time it took to go through this process before announcing it and burying it the day before the NFL draft, I guess hoping nobody would notice, is that there were, quote, some conflicting interviews with players. I mean, discuss among yourselves. This is what took so long. One of the reasons it took so long was that there were quote unquote conflicting interviews with players.
Mike, you write crime novels. You've seen this scene, okay, play out. You go to the guy who has information and you say, "Okay, here's the deal. You have information. I'm going to lock you up if you don't give me the information. If you do give me the information, maybe I won't lock you up for as long." Instead, this character says, "Please give us the information. And if you give us the information, we promise we won't do anything to you." And that's the incredible deal that baseball has made with its players. But and they defended this in the Houston deal by saying, "Well, we wouldn't have the information if we had to punish the players because they wouldn't have told us about it." Well, yeah, you would if in a Mike Lupica novel you said, "Oh, well, here's your alternative. You don't tell us, you're out for a year. If you do tell us, maybe we'll only suspend you for 6 weeks." Instead, they say, "Well, please tell us and we won't do anything to you." And that's how they got the information.
Now, am I
wrong? You're the crime novelist. You tell me.
Yeah, by the way, I have one coming out on May 5th, and I'll be talking to you on the Mitch Albom radio show that day. No, but Mitch, here's you're saying that. I'm thinking, okay, how would I write this at the end of the novel? Okay, that we thought it was this guy, and now it's poor little JT Watkins. Okay, the way I'd write it is after you think it's him. In the next chapter, my hero goes to the actual ringleader and said, "Yeah, I know you wanted us to think it was JT Watkins, but here's what I got on you." And so I don't know whether you know what I think. I think Alex Cora was up to his eyeballs in this. That's what I really think.
This quote from John Henry, guys. He says, "It's clear from the report that these isolated occurrences in 2018 happened during the regular season period. The report references how often these instances called into question had an opportunity to take place. And within the context of the overall season, all one has to do is the math to see the net potential result. But I'll let others do the math," unquote. Chew on that.
That's a non-denial denial, as we used to say during Watergate.
It just tells you that it just sends a signal to the players that, hey, we're more important than staff or anybody else, and we have the leverage. And so they watch yet another equipment guy just trying to get an edge and trying to be, you know, better liked and trying to be serve the team, and he gets tossed on the sacrificial pile, and the players get to go on and say, "Oh well, you know, I guess that's not going to work for us. Let's see if we can find some other way to cheat and get somebody else to take the fall for us." It's just incredible.
Pay his salary that he would have made this year. I'm sure they're going to do that, huh? A tangled web we weave, gentlemen.
Something. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. When we see you again, we're going to have a lot to talk about. All the rounds will be officially over, and we'll be able to evaluate all of this.
I mean, it is Monday morning, Mitch. It's possible.
That's right.
That's true. So don't be so
technically,
cocky.
Technically, they still could be right.
Don't trying be so to get, cocky. Yeah. They could have a technical glitch or two, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
I remember when Billy Crystal had Paul McCartney on in the Hernando's Hideaway, and he said to him, "Can I ask you a question?" You know, and everyone's, you know, it was okay. What's he going to ask Paul McCartney? He says, "When you hook up a VCR, What do you want to tell these guys? And I keep thinking about that now. It's like you have this big NFL and all the rest, and somebody's going to go, I lost my internet. I'm getting the spinning pinwheel of death here on my Mac computer. I'm just hoping for a moment like that. We'll see if we get it. We thank you for joining us here on the Sports Reporters. And if you like what you heard, leave us a comment. If you didn't, leave us two comments. Leave us a rating. We always appreciate that. You can hear this on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and all the popular places you can get podcasts. Tell your friends if they were fans of the Sports Reporters TV show. Hey, we're living on Mondays and Thursdays in podcast land. Until we see you on Monday, please stay safe. And on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom saying, enjoy the draft!